What's good, everybody? Welcome into the Early Edge in our NFL preview special. We are powered, as always, by Sportsline. I am your leader, the coach. And I got to tell you, if you're not following us at YouTube, you got to do it right now. Turn on those notifications because you never know when a brand new content is going to drop right into your feed like this show right now. Now, one of the things that football fans love the most is the NFL draft. This Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on April 29th, the second and third rounds will be on Friday, and then the rest of the rounds will be on Saturday. It's a three-day event. But our partners at William Hill have so many different bets that you can make, and that's why we are here. So I'm bringing in our number one NFL handicapper at Sportsline. There's nobody better than my guy, R.J. White. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
I'm awesome. I'm ready for some picks. I'm ready for some plays. Are you ready?
I'm ready for the draft. It's my favorite draft season. Is my favorite part of football season. I know we all build up to the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl, but this is the time that everybody has hope. You know, you think that your team's going to get the one or two players that are going to turn your franchise around. Even if you're the Jaguars, and we know that they're going to get Trevor Lawrence this year. Even if you're the Lions, which seems like they're always picking high, this is the time you have hope. So it's a great time for every football fan.
And what seems like is a little bit different this year, RJ, is the fact that there's not just – even though Trevor Lawrence will be the number one pick, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are going to give teams hope that are going to be drafted in the top 5, 10, or 15. So there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to this draft, and that's why you are here. Kind of take people through, though, before we get into your best bets before the NFL draft. Sportsline is more than just throwing out picks or simulations, especially – when it comes to the NFL draft. What are all the things you guys are doing at Sportsline?
Yeah, so we released my top 10 best bets about 2 weeks ago, and we've seen a certain movement in the market since then that have changed some of those odds. So I did an update on that over the weekend, so people can go and check out the updated version of that. Same thing with the top long shot plays. If you want to play some lottery ticket plays, I got one in there that's all the way up to 50-1. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it has a better than 2% chance of happening. And then I went through, I do a mock draft every year. I used to be the NFL draft editor for CBS Sports. This time I married it with the concept of gambling, doing a betting mock draft. So we go through, we look at what mock drafters are saying at every pick. We look at the percentages of who goes where in each of those. And then we see what the market says on, plus 200 this, plus 110 for offensive lineman first pick, all those type of things, and see who makes sense. So what am I predicting, but what would I play based on what the market's saying and what I think there's value on in the betting market for each pick going through the first round.
Well, I tell you what, we tell everybody here at the Early Edge, we like to entertain, but we also like to educate. And this is one of those events that if you choose to bet on it, you better read all the stuff that RJ and his team puts out at Sportsline, because you don't want to go in. You could lose very, very quickly. And also on prop bets, just a little sprinkle, not your full bet size on prop bets, because there's a lot of uncertainty there. So let's jump in, RJ. I'm going to throw out a bunch of names. I want you to tell everybody what kind of bet you like for the names that I give you, okay? So let's jump right in. We're going to start with Patrick Surtain. His dad played over 10 years in the league. He's a great youngster coming out of Alabama. What bet do you like with Surtain?
So with that first run of the best bets, I gave out Patrick Surtain as under 10.5 as his draft position. It was at flat there. You can get it minus 110, minus 115. I also gave him as the first offensive player off the board. He wasn't the favorite there. Michael Parsons was, and he could get him at plus 150. Now it seems like the market is course corrected. Everybody kind of has aligned to that line of thinking. And Surtain has moved to being minus 145 on the under. I still like it. I don't think it's as good value, obviously, with that number, but I would still play it at minus 145. Every team picking from 7 to 10 needs corner help, and the gap between Surtain and who's going to be available to those teams in early round two is larger than at other positions, like a receiver, like an offensive line. So I think we could even see a team like Arizona trade up from 16 to the top 10 to get ahead of Dallas. Dallas is like the one spot that I think he was in 77% of mock drafts to Dallas over the last week in the database that I used to track these picks. So I think that's the floor for Surtain at 10. So at 10.5, I think you're cashing. I think they need to move that number to 9.5 to make it a little interesting.
All right. And you mentioned the name Micah Parsons. We're going to get to him in just a minute. But I want to stay with another cornerback out of South Carolina, J.C. Horn. What do you like with Horn?
Yeah, his over-under is 12.5, and it's juiced to the over. I kind of like the under. I do think Sertan's going to be the first defender off the board, but I would bet that there are a handful of teams that have Horn rated a little higher. I think he's better in press man coverage just a little bit, even though Sertan's a more complete player. I consider Horn less of the cornerback two in this class and more of the 1B to Sertan's 1A. So I think you can kind of see both of them in the top 10, really, because, like I said, there are needy teams in that 7 to 10 range for cornerbacks. I think the floor is the Eagles at number 12, pairing him with Darius Slay to get a really good number, you know, 1 and 2 combination there on the secondary that they can rely on. So under 12.5 at even money plus 100, I think is a great pick.
Yeah, it's always nice when you got two cornerbacks so you don't have to move them all over the field. They can just cover their half and you're good to go. Let's make a left turn here and let's go to a team prop, and that's the Chargers. They've got a lot of holes that they need to fill, but they also have a really good young quarterback that they need to protect. What bet do you like with the Chargers?
So at 13, I think they're perfectly positioned to grab an offensive lineman. It's a major need for the Chargers as they look to build around Justin Herbert, and they're in prime position at 13 to get a good one. It's been the focus on mock drafters here, 63% of mock drafts in that database, giving them one of the offensive line options in the top half of round one. That's through the whole process, not just the first week, the last week, but it seems to be guys like Christian Darrisaw, Elijah Vera Tucker, even if Rashawn Slater isn't available, and I don't think he will be. But either way, I think at 13, they're going to stay put. They're going to take an offensive lineman. So make that the exact position of first pick at plus 110, and I think there's a better than 50% chance that comes in.
I think there's a lot of teams that are looking at what Kansas City has done this week and all the changes they made and said, listen, we're protecting our star quarterback. And they've said, listen, we've got to do the exact same thing if we want to win a Super Bowl, because we saw what happened when you don't protect your quarterback. All right, let's get back to that name that so many teams and executives have loved. Now, little off-the-field issues for Micah Parsons, but he's got a humongous upside. Where do you like him going?
Yeah, I have him over 12.5 at minus 140. It's another one that had a lot of value when my first column came out. He was at 11.5 flat there, and I said, take the over. He's a very good linebacker prospect, like you said, but it's not like there's things that he's perfect. You know, there's things he still has to work on. I think he's more of a Tremaine Edmonds than a Devin White. I think there's going to be more growth that needs to happen on the field, and there are those concerns off the field as well. 12.5 is a weird number for him, for his prop. It moved off of 11.5, and I think it's going to keep moving. Eagles don't draft linebackers early at 12, and they de-emphasize the position in general when they're building their team. And Chargers have way more pressing needs. Like I said, they're going to go offensive lineman. I think I can't see him cracking a top 12 that should include at least four quarterbacks, 2 to 3 receivers, Kyle Pitts, 2 to 3 offensive linemen, and 2 cornerbacks. So over 12.5 is the play for me. I think he gets to the lower teens even.
And for those of you watching at home, you got to be very, very careful. You got to look at the teams and what RG is talking about and what their needs are, because if a player slips past a team, for instance, and another team doesn't need that position, then that prop is not going to look very good. So really do your homework and listen to what RJ is telling you. Now, let's get back to the offensive side of the ball. And a really cool-looking prospect coming out of Oklahoma State, Tevin Jenkins. What do you like with him?
Yeah, there's such a need for offensive linemen among the teams picking 13 to 22, starting with the Chargers, that I think Jenkins, who has emerged to me, is closer to that Darrisaw and Vera Tucker tier than the next tier down. I think he has to go in that range. He doesn't have plus athleticism. He doesn't have plus length. That's going to be an issue that some teams may have. But that's not going to stop him from being a starter on day one and contributing right away. Indy at 21 seems like his floor to me. I could see him going in the teens as well to a team like Washington, Minnesota. I mean, there's several teams. Miami could go for one again. Even the Raiders, you know. They have a lot of turnover at the offensive line right now. So I just think there's a ton of teams there, and he doesn't get past 21. So you can take under 23.5 flat right now. I mean, take that, because, he doesn't get to 24.
All right. Well, those are 5 tremendous best bets from RJ. But a lot of fans out there, a lot of followers, they like a long shot. They like sprinkling a little bit of money, RJ, on something that if they hit, they're going to say, listen, I'm going out for a nice steak dinner. You hit Baker Mayfield back in 2018, 25-1. Give me a long shot that you think has a chance to come in.
Yeah, well, a realistic long shot. I'm going to talk about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at plus 600 to be the first linebacker off the board. Like I said, I think Parsons is on the way down. And everything that we've heard from Owusu-Koramoah, his stock is on the rise. He's small for a linebacker, but that's become less of an issue in recent years. In fact, versatility like his is a plus. You know, he's kind of a poor man's Isaiah Simmons. He's not, you know, as highly regarded as a prospect in that way, but you could use him in a bunch of different ways. You can't teach his combo of speed and explosion and athleticism. And there are plenty of teams in the teens who could fall in love with that ridiculous upside that he has. So with his stock rising, Parsons' stock falling, I think he could pass him on the board in cash for you at plus 600. And then if you want to throw in a super long shot in that Baker Mayfield mold, I put a Devontae Smith +5,000, you know, 50-1 to be the first non-quarterback selected. You know, I think there is a chance that Atlanta could go receiver, that their receiver group is going to be turning over here in a year or two. And there's even been some talk now that Julio Jones could be traded after you get past the June, you know, roster date. That's an effect there where it wouldn't accelerate his contract on the cap. So you can look to play that a little bit and just think that maybe with that explosion, that Heisman talent, they could go with Devontae Smith at 50-1. That's a fun one to put a little bit on and then hope that lottery ticket comes in.
I think I'm going to do that because he is such a great talent. He knows the game. His football IQ is off the charts. And I just think maybe his size a little bit is what might hold people back. But if somebody took him, RJ, nobody would say anything other than that kid's going to be a star. And I can't believe you didn't take him higher. I love that pick. I'm going to sprinkle a little bit on that 5,000 or the 50-1. All right, we're up against it. Grab your paper, grab your pencil. It's time for the recap, courtesy of RJ White. Here's what we like. Patrick Surtain under 10.5. This is where they would be drafted in the first round. Also, sprinkle a little bit on the first defensive player to be taken at minus 130 for Surtain. Then J.C. Horn, the youngster out of South Carolina, under the 12.5 spot at plus 100. Then the Chargers, exact position of their first pick. Offensive lineman, plus 110. Then Micah Parsons, the youngster out of Penn State, over 12.5, meaning he would be drafted after the 12th pick in the first round. That's coming back at minus 140. Then Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma State, under the 24th pick. And then Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, plus 600 for your long shot. And if you like a super long shot, it's not on the recap, but little Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama at 50-1 to be the first offensive player taken after the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. All right. You've got your marching orders. We love the NFL draft. Follow us at Sportsline. Follow RJ White on social media so you get all the information and you don't go in blind. Let's take all of these tickets straight to the pay window. For my guy, RJ White, for the jeweler who puts it all together, I am the coach. We'll see you Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time for the draft. Until then, the only place for your daily, your weekly, your seasonal, and your NFL draft, Early Edge. Good luck.